So back to this question of rights and needs in friendship, just a sort of last point about it. In a sense, having needs in friendship is not really the problem. That's not really the problem. It's insisting on them that's the problem. Yeah? And if you insist on getting your needs met, getting your rights, then you're not really going to develop friendship. And you're certainly very unlikely to develop spiritual friendship. So having the needs isn't the problem, it's the insisting on them. Okay. So conversely, if you can just relax and just give, what you find is that actually your needs will be met. If you can just, as it were, give to your friend and just get on with, you know, this friendship that's based on the good, you will actually find that your needs will be met. Because if, you know, if your friend loves the good in you, he will also want to help you. If you love the good in your friend, you will also want to help your friend, and you will also want to give them pleasure, and they will want to give pleasure to you. But you've just got to kind of relax and let go of that sort of tight grasping after those things, and then it will come. Then it will come. You've just got to give. Right. So basically, what I'm saying is work to cultivate the attitude of placing more and more importance on the duties of friendship rather than the rights. So that's it, that's the message. Be a friend is more important than having one. The more you do this, the more you'll at least develop contractual friendships, which will eventually deepen and flower and evolve into spiritual friendships. Okay, so just before finishing off, I want to take a look at what we're going to actually be doing on the retreat, what we'll actually be doing on the retreat in order to explore this. But before I do that, I want to speak for a little while on some of the duties of friendship, the actual duties of friendship. I could use a Buddhist list. There are a number about. For example, there's the Sigalavada Sutta. We'll hear a reading from that later on tonight. There's a very, very good list of duties of friendship in there. But what I'm actually going to do is go back to that book which I mentioned at the start, The Duties of Brotherhood in Islam. Yeah, we're going to explore just some of the duties out of there, Al-Khazali's book. This will be the only bit of Islam, don't worry. There won't be any more after tonight. It is actually a Buddhist retreat. So, I'm going to talk about four of the duties which Al-Khazali lays out. He actually lays out eight in total in the book. I'm going to talk about four, which I see as being particularly important. So number one is what he calls the material duty. This basically means generosity, material generosity. Specifically, meeting the material needs of your brothers. Al-Khazali talks about three degrees of this, and Paramabandhu mentioned them last night. So the first degree is where you give to your brother out of your surplus. You've got spare, so you give it to your friend because he needs something. This is the lowest level of generosity. In a sense, it's not really generosity at all. I mean, it's a start, but, you know, it's very, very limited. Yeah? The second one is where you place your brother on an equal footing to yourself. So, in a sense, they've got an equal right to what you've got. Now, according to Al-Khazali, this is still quite a, you know, relatively low level of generosity, and it's only just generosity from this way of looking at it. Because the real thing, according to Al-Khazali, and I think we can learn an awful lot from this, is preferring your brother to yourself. In a sense, your brother, your friend, has more of a right to your possessions than you do. Which is quite an interesting one, isn't it? We can at least begin by practicing this, by giving out of our surplus. We can at least begin at that level, not hoarding the surplus that we've got for ourselves or for some future use that we want it for, but being prepared to just give it away to others. But the second level that we could move towards is where we're actually prepared to give our friend an equal right to our possessions. And there's a lovely little story that occurs in the book, which I'll just read out to you about this. If I can get my tongue around the names in it. Fath al-Mursili once came to a brother's house while he was away. Telling his brother's wife to bring out his chest, he opened it and took from it what he needed. When the slave girl later informed her master, he exclaimed, "If what you say is true, you are a free woman for the sake of God." So delighted was he by his brother's deed. That's quite a response, isn't it? So, you know, he's just completely delighted that his brother trusts him so much. He's quite prepared to come around to his house and take a load of money and walk off with it. So, you know, sort of think about it yourself. Your mate, one of your close mates, who, of course, you know, you've given the keys, you've given him the keys to your flat, comes around while you're out and takes your stereo because he needs your stereo. And you come back and you're just delighted.
Wow.
My friend really trusts me. And, I'm, you know, he's prepared to even do that to me. And that's a great response, isn't it? I've had some experience with this myself, some. Through sharing money and belongings with various people like Artapriya, Nagapriya, when I've lived with them in communities. And it does really teach you to bear others in mind. It's a very, very good thing to do. You know, we shared money, we shared possessions, we shared books, we shared clothes. And it's a very challenging practice, but it really taught me an awful lot. I think it's particularly true with regard to money. You know, you're out somewhere and you've got some money in your pocket and you're about to spend it. It's like, well, yeah, but what about those two? You know, do I need to spend these resources or not? You've got to bear others in mind. Do they need these resources for something that they really want? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, all right, that's lofty and it needs careful setting up, but you can at least make your resources available to other people, and that's a way of moving towards it. You know, share them with your friends as a practice. And there's another thing that Subhuti talks about here, this idea of stewarding your possessions. Your possessions aren't just there for your own benefit. You look after them, and when someone else needs them, you just give them to them. But as I mentioned, and you know, as Al-Ghazali says, that's only the second degree. You know, there's further to go. There's the third degree where you actually prefer your friend's right to your possessions over your own right to them. I think what this is really telling us is, don't make the mistake of complacency. Yeah, you might be a pretty generous person. You might give out of your surplus. You may even, as it were, share your possessions equally with others. But don't be complacent with that. There's still further to go. You can still go further than that. Don't make that mistake. Don't settle down. And just challenge yourself. Go further. Another little story about this one. Abu Saluayam al-Darani used to say, I feed a morsel to a brother of mine and find the taste of it in my own throat. Which basically means something like, the taste of food in your brother's mouth is preferable even to the taste of that food in your own. Now this is a really easy practice to engage with, and I've practiced this quite a lot. I found it very, very useful. All you do is, like, you know, when you're at the table, you know, when brunch is served, one of the only two meals of the day, brunch, and there's something that you really want, well, just bear it, you know, maybe you really want it, give it to your friend. Let them appreciate it. If it's something that you're really going to appreciate it, why not give it to them? Appreciate the fact of your friend enjoying the taste of it, and then, as it were, take your enjoyment in that. It's a very, very easy practice to engage with, and it really does get you to think. You know, so when you're reaching out for the last biscuit, stop, hang on a minute, give it to somebody else. Let them enjoy it. See what that tastes like. Yeah?